Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 92, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Nancy T. on the 12 Steps, Susan S.I. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Liat T.D., Penny L.C., and Stephanie L. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, August 7th, 10 a.m. East Coast time meeting is 11,759, and for this morning, Wednesday, August 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 11,766. Our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nancy T. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. Nancy T., recovered compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. With that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you, Nancy T. Susan S.I., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Thank you. This is Susan S.I. from Florida. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name, the AA name will never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Susan S.I. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 92, the second full paragraph, and I will ask Leah T.D. to begin the reading.
Thank you, Kathy. Beate D. from Northern California. Good morning, my friends. Okay, here we go. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the condition of body and mind which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. Explain that many are doomed who never realize their predicament. Doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. But you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism because you offer a solution. You will soon have your friend admitting he has many, if not all, of the traits of the alcoholic. If his own doctor is willing to tell him that he is an alcoholic, so much the better. Even though your protege may not have entirely admitted his condition, he has become very curious to know how you got well. Let him ask you that question, if he will. Tell him exactly what happened to you. Stress the spiritual feature freely. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it empathic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself, and that he lived by spiritual principles. Okay. Now, I was reading this earlier a little bit, and I was thinking how amazing it is that the Big Book, I mean, we're talking about the same things every day. Every paragraph in the Big Book almost says the same thing over and over again, and it sounds new. And that was kind of amazing to me this morning. What I heard was three main things. One, my job as someone who recovered is to first make a friend, to get to really find out who is that person in front of me. You know, I mean, we come in so broken. And even people who are not broken, and we're all broken in some place. And so to truly be patient, kind, loving, and compassionate and see that person eye to eye, on an eye to eye level. And the second thing is, you know, it says make him, you know, he will become curious, you know, to make him or her thirsty. You know, talk about the disease and the hopelessness of the condition and the solution and how I recovered. You know, for me, my disease was not just weight gain. It was severe depression. After every time that I ate, I felt so depressed. And I tried different methods. I tried to overcome it by diets, and then I failed diets. And then I tried to just accept me. Okay, I'm just a heavy person. And I couldn't accept it because food beat me up to the ground. You know, people in OA would say to me, oh, that's okay, don't beat yourself up. I never beat myself up. After a disease, I felt like someone knocked me over. I mean, after a binge, I felt like I was hit with a 4x4. You know, and the third thing that, you know, is offered, is what I'm supposed to do, is to introduce a solution, which is spiritually based, because there's no therapy, there's no food plan, there's nothing that was able to change the mindset that I had. There was no human power. There could only be a power greater than me, you know. And I have tried and exhausted all of my willpower to change my condition, and I couldn't. And I just want to close with a story that I read the other day. I love parables. And, you know, I read the story yesterday about a farmer that carried a donkey on his back. And some carriage came, people of the carriage came by, and they felt sorry for him, so they stopped to take him to the market with them. And they took him, they got there, and they saw that his back was broken, because even on the carriage, he kept on carrying his donkey. You know, and I'm going to close it, you know, and that's what I did. I just kept carrying my donkey on my back, and this program offers me a solution. Take down that donkey. Everything is okay. You don't have to carry it anymore. You don't have to do it on your own power yet. So my back is getting restored and recovered. I love you all and all past. Thank you for letting me speak to you.
Thank you, Liat CD. Okay, who would like to share on the paragraph that Liat just read?
Sonia?
Paula D.
Okay, I have Sunny S.
Leia D.
Paula D. Who is that? Z?
Leia D.
I'm sorry, can you say it again?
Leia Z.
Leia Z. Okay. Anyone else want to share?
Wendy N. Julie P.
Wendy N. and Julie P.
P. Yep.
Okay, let's start with those. Sunny S, Paula D, Leia Z, Wendy N, and Julie P. Please get us started, Sunny S.
Hi, this is Sunny S from Colorado. May I be heard?
Yes.
Cool. So my name is spelled S-A-N-N-E, just so that there's no confusion. Yeah, this is a great paragraph and share. Thank you so much for your service. You know, when I say talk about the conditions and of body and mind which accompany it, you know, talking with my sponsees, it's interesting how they keep talking about, like, the obsession of the mind. You know, it still haunts them. And I'm like, you've got to stick to the steps. That's really the way through it. I mean, that's the way that I got freedom. But really understanding that because the physical allergy and the cravings are gone, it doesn't mean that the obsession is going to be lifted right away. And then I really like the fact that it says, you know, share about my personal experience. this program is not about me. I don't sponsor about me. It's not about how good I can fix people. It's not about how much of a savior I am. It's about doing service. So basically, sharing my experience, strength, and hope, and then letting go. You know, in whatever way that I can. It's like now it's, you know, higher power, it's their program, it's their higher power, and that's it. And there's no fixing or there's no changing, nothing. I can let go of that part. And then, I mean, just the fact that it can be any conception of God, so long as we surrender our will to something greater than ourselves. Like, it doesn't need to be this, like, really difficult thing to reach, so long as we let go and we trust that there is something else. That's it. That's all we got to do. At least all I had to do. And it worked. And it may not be the God that my neighbor has or that all the people in the room have when I go to my meetings in person, but it is something that works for me. And I feel surrendered and I feel like I can trust something else. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sunny F. Paula D., please share with us.
And thank you, Kathy. This would be Paula D., recovered, fine with the grace of God, currently in New Hampshire, the state of New Hampshire, in the state of being recovered. You know, as I listened to this, and on listen, I did continue. This is continue. Life continues. And it says, keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. I'm reading it as it's read, but we live it. We live it. And I love this part. Tell him the story. It may serve some good purpose, but you may talk to him about the hopelessness of alcoholism. Why? Who would want to talk about that? Who'd want to hear it? Wait, because you offer a solution. It's like somebody's got a piece of the puzzle that fell to the floor and you didn't even know it was missing. Because it goes on here. You'll soon have your friend. A friend? Wow, that's not the way I come at it. That must be the way. Because one attached to another by affection. How about one attached to another by an infection, a disease? The stigma. The stigma of being obese. The stigma of anorexic bulimia. What does it say in the back of the book in the last girl ward? Come here with me just for a moment. Just for a moment. In emphasizing alcoholism. As emphasizing compulsive eating, bulimia, anorexia, as an illness, the social stigma. Oh, we know it. Didn't you see the looks? Even from family members. You could just stop. It's only food. Come here. This is a friend. Associated with this condition is being blotted out. Look at what it says. Historians may one day recognize Alcoholics Anonymous and Overeaters Anonymous to have been a great venture in social pioneering, which forged a new, not known before, instrument for social action, a new, not known before, therapy based on the kinship of common suffering, one having a vast potential for the myriad other ills of mankind. I know my time is closing out, but as we read this and we go on, we know what a friend is. We know what a friend isn't. A friend is not hostile. One that is not hostile. Have you not met the hostility in our own families? I want to end with, as it says here, even though your protege may not have entirely admitted his condition, it's okay. He has become very curious. You know, they say, curiosity killed a cat, but may I tell you, satisfaction brought him back. You cannot make him drink the water, but sweetheart, you can get him mighty thirsty if he will. Tell him exactly what happened to you. Stress the spiritual feature freely. Am I reading as it is written? That I am. And I am living as it is written. Spiritual feature freely I live. And then I will end with the main thing. Ooh, is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself, that he lived by spiritual principles. As I said before, we offer a solution. Thank you for giving this time. And with that, I do pass.
Thank you, Paula D. Leah Z, please share with us.
Hello. First of all, it's Leah Z. Can I be heard?
Go ahead, Leah.
Okay, so my name is Leah Z. I'm recovered in Brooklyn and now residing for the front of Miami. And whenever I hear this part of the big book on how to be a good 12-stepper, share it. Even though I've been in the room so many years, I've been in the room 42 years, and I've been really recovered only 2.5 months, 44 and a half years to really get recovered only 2 years ago because I was a 1-2-3-er and a constant relapser. I feel inadequate a little bit, 12-stepping. Sometimes I don't have the words to explain the miracle that I received and how to get people interested. You know, people seem to only be interested in the physical manifestation. And sometimes it's hard to get people involved in, you know, you get involved in the whole dialogue. And I'd like to learn how to do it better, to learn to be a better 12-stepper, to learn how to share my experience and explain the gift that I received and understanding how to work the steps and bring God into my life and only what God's done for me. But sometimes the layman doesn't get interested. You know, I get at least 20 or 25 weight loss schemes every week in my email. All the spam comes in. I think the world is full of these spams. And people don't understand the serious nature of this disease. I think people still think, friends of mine who ask about what I'm doing, you look so good, what are you doing? And you start to say it, they walk the other way. You know, and I need to pray to God for the wisdom and the knowledge of how to get people interested. Because I do feel like this is a gift, and I do want to share it. But it's hard because it doesn't come easily. You know, people still, I believe the world still thinks, well, you need a little willpower, but I know who I am. I would have been one of those 600-pound people. Easy. Easy. I don't think there was ever an end to my bottom. My bottom did not end. And I just feel inadequate with step 12 because I have something to offer and I don't always know the words how to get started. I'm glad we have meetings like this where we pick up some hints and pointers. So when I go out there and meet someone who needs to hear about the recovery, I can get them enticed without scaring them away. So I tend to do that. You know, I don't have the right words all the time. I have to hear it and say, and I know to talk about my story, but someone's got to want to listen to my story. So I'm really glad to be here today to say a few words and leave some more room for recovery and hope someone will share their strength, hope, and experience on this part of the big book. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leia Z. Wendy N., please share.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Kathy, for your service and everybody on the line. And I thank God for the entire abstinence I have this morning. Which keeps me unblocked as best as possible, right? So there's a few things I wanted to say. One is that when I first got skinny, so 17 years ago, I said I was abstinent. I mainly just lost the weight, and I would go to stores to buy clothes, of course, and I would show my photos to anyone and everyone who would look at my before and after pictures. And that's how I carried the message in the beginning, which I think is like hilarious and also very sweet, because you only know what you know. But I have to say that people were curious; they wanted to know how that worked, right? And I'm curious all the time. I'll be at a restaurant and see women who I totally judge as thin eating ice cream sandwiches, and that's curious. How does that happen? But what I know is that I carry the message. In other words, it doesn't actually matter what I say exactly because I just am the message, right? Like if I'm recovered and hopefully have physical, emotional, and spiritual recovery, that I am the message in and of itself. And you know, the fact that there is a solution is absolutely amazing, right? Because I came here on a losing streak. Of course I did, and so did everyone else. I tried everything for 39 years, and nothing, quote, worked, right? So the fact that there is a solution, and there is a solution, as somebody likes to say, is phenomenal. Like, that in and of itself kept me in Overeaters Anonymous, right? And the other thing about this solution, you know, is that it actually works, and that's why I'm on the line right now, because this thing works, right? And the other thing that I want to say is, when it talks about, let's see, spiritual principles. Really, they're talking about the steps there. And you just have to be willing to believe in anything other than you. And that's a pretty powerful message. And the steps themselves are just action, right? This is a program of action. And that's partly what I say to the prospects, that you just have to do this thing. You don't have to think it. You don't have to figure it out. You don't need to know why ever, right? I spent my life, why? You know, so that I can control a situation. As long as I understood it, I had it, quote, under control, right? All this says is you've got to let go of everything. And the only thing that changes in this program is everything. But that it is always and constantly a letting go of. That's all you got to do is continue to do the action of letting go and surrendering. And when I think I've got something, I'm in trouble, I call one of you and you remind me to let go. And the other thing I want to say, too, is that we're uniquely qualified. It says, but you may talk to him, not the doctor, but you may, because you're uniquely qualified. Everybody on this line who's a compulsive overeater is qualified to work with another, I say, once they go through the 12 steps. But that we are uniquely qualified, that I don't have to, like, figure this out or make up my story or be in the convincing game, right? My story in and of itself, what I've done, my experience is the answer, right? That is the thing that they're going to be curious about. And the fact that they can see, hopefully, that I've recovered is going to be give them hope, right? That they can do this too. But we are all uniquely qualified. We don't have to make up a story. We don't have to convince anybody of anything. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy. And Julie P., please share with us.
Hi. This is Julie P., compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay. So, I don't know what to say. All I know is that I am just struggling with this food thing. I'm new to vision. I've been going to OA since 2013, and nobody at my face-to-face meetings has what I want. You know, I want to feel the way that I've been hearing people feel on vision. I want to feel neutral about my food. I want to feel like I have that solution. You know, and I just struggle with it. The food is my alcohol, you know. And so for me, I've been hearing on the line as far as I need to know that you guys suffered too. You know, because it's interesting. I've been listening to Vision for like 3 weeks, and everybody's inspired and good and doing great. And it's like, I need to know that you were in the same place that I was, that I am right now. And just, I'm out of my element right now. I've been vacationing for 8 days with a couple, and I'm the third wheel, and it's just, I'm just like going crazy, and I don't want to give up my abstinence. I have 1 day left, and so I'm just going to listen to meetings all day while we fly home. So I just thank every one of you, and I'm going to be listening for sponsors afterwards. So thank you very much. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Julie P. Hey, I can take another group. Who would like to share?
Holly Q.
Holly Q.
Deb G.
I'm sorry, what was your first name?
Deb, as in Debbie. Deb
okay,
G.
Deb G. Gotcha, Deb. Roz
G.
Roz G.
Mo H.
Mo H.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Robin P.
Robin T. Okay, let's stop there. So I have Holly Q, Deb G, Roz G, Mo H, Kathleen O, and Robin P. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, Holly Q, please go ahead and share.
Hi, moderator. Thank you very much. It's Polly Q with a P.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No worries. Thank you very much. This is Polly Q in Northern California, recovered compulsive eater. I'm just going to say that my experience since being in Vision is that I don't get newcomers. I don't get people that have never experienced Overeaters Anonymous. The people I get generally have read the big book maybe a few times. And so what I have to share is my experience relapsing and my experience with coming into Vision and how I read the big book now. And then I try immediately to get into the big book. I talk pretty practically because most people, when they come in and they're talking to me, and I felt the same way as, hey, what's wrong with my food? You know, we're still looking for solutions in the food. And so, I spend a day talking, or I spend one meeting talking about the food. And then I want to get into the big book because now I'm going to read the big book differently. I'm going to read it like a textbook. And I start reading it with them like a textbook. And invariably, everybody goes, whoa, I didn't see that before. I didn't know that was there before. I didn't realize that was that was about. The doctor's opinion, wow, I never even knew it was like that. You know, and so that's it's not that I'm opening their eyes. It's that I'm reading it now the way it was read in the Vision meetings and the way it opened my eyes. And so then now we're in it. And now because it's a textbook, it offers a lot of hope and they're excited to read it. And I'm excited to read it. And that's how it works. I'm a signpost. That's all. You know, I'm a little bit ahead on the path and I'm pointing in this direction as directed in the big book of AA. And as a result, I begin to get excited. Now, then we get into the spiritual part of it. And we're trying to get away from this idea that the solution is in the food because it just isn't. It's not there. It never will be. That's the problem, right? And that there is this spiritual solution. So for me, it's all about that process. And then it's really all up to them and their higher power because my other experience is that people have to be ready. They have to really know they are hopeless addicts. Because I'm not going to work the spiritual program I have to work to stay abstinent if I do not know that I am a hopeless addict. And so it's me and them and God or a higher power, however they want to define it. But it's got to be something more than me and them. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Polly Q, for your share. Deb G, please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you for your service today. This is a great topic. My name is Deb G, and I'm in the state of Washington, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. I remember my first introduction to the program via face-to-face meetings. Like nobody came to my house to meet with me and talk to me. It was all in meetings. And what my very first OA meeting, what really drew me in was the stories that everybody in the room were telling about their overeating, and it totally matched mine. So by sharing this common problem, I started to identify with the people in the room. And this is partly a problem of identification. It's the idea that basically we're the same and that helps draw a person in to wanting this program. It's like the early phase of attraction rather than promotion. And I used all the same treatments for my disease for many years and got nowhere. And when other people shared the same thing, I went, okay, there's people just like me. And when I came into OA, I was actually looking for another diet and started OA with that in mind. And after 90 days, I broke my abstinence because I never really had it to begin with. I was just abstaining on my own firepower. It didn't work. So once I understood there's a spiritual malady and there's a spiritual solution, and that the people that started talking about that, they balanced out their experience prior to program and their experience using the solution, began to really appreciate the depth and breadth of this program. So when I approach a newcomer, I have to balance out the identification of us sharing the same problem with the solution. And then the person gets to decide if it really sounds like something they want to do, because it's different than a diet. And our culture is so diet-driven with the goal of weight loss. And OA is so totally different. It's really addressing the underlying problem. So I think this paragraph is great because it really helps for us to share our utter hopelessness with the new person and how that changes with this program by sharing our own experience. And then the spiritual part, which we also share, the spiritual solution, is what makes it so unique. No diets, no easy schemes, because the spiritual malady is what really needs to be addressed. So this chapter is so much about balance and presenting all aspects of what we offer and how we can identify with each other, because we do share a common problem, and ultimately we do share the common solution. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Deb G. Roz G., please share with us.
Hi, this is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles County. And I don't have a whole lot to add to the directions on this paragraph, but I'd like to just, you know, share my feelings through this paragraph and what you know, how I've done it and how it's affected me. So it took me a long, long, long time, many years, to get that it is a spiritual solution, because I tried so many human aids over the years. Just like everybody else, you know, all the diets, the pills, and the weight loss programs, you know, the commercial ones. And because I didn't have the solid spiritual foundation, I wasn't truly able to share that. You can't give away what you haven't got, and that's so true. Through deep study of the Big Book, through the Vision for You meetings, and through step studies, I have come to believe in a power greater than myself. It is I call my higher power my provider. So what I've gotten through sponsorship over the years is that I'm able to identify with anybody, whether they are atheist, just like it says here, whether they are atheist, whether they are agnostic, Mormon, Jewish, gay, straight, black, white. It doesn't matter. We have a common malady. And as the previous share said, we have a common solution. And it is a spiritual solution. I can't emphasize that more for myself and to somebody that I work with. And I know that I will take patience. If they're anything like me, it takes a lot of humility to get there. And my ego was as strong as a brick wall. It was strong. And it took a lot of pain to break through it. I'm grateful for that pain, though, because I feel as though I've earned my seat. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Mo H., please share with us.
Did you call on me, Kathy? Mo H.?
I did. Thank you.
Okay. I was unmuting. Didn't know my name. All right. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater from Northern California. Oh, wow, wow, wow. I wish someone had talked to me these Big Book words. I've been in the room since 1989, and I had periods of abstinence And but then I would slip and slide and relapse. And one period I left the rooms and then came back. And no one talked to me about the phenomenon of craving and the mental obsession, the allergy of the body. And I didn't hear it in the rooms. I mean, maybe they spoke about it and I was numb to hearing it. Oh, I forgot to start my timer. I started it now. But it wasn't until I started, my sponsor guided me to this vision meeting about 2.5 years ago. And I was curious, very curious, when I heard people say recovered. I go, what's that about? And I would talk to my sponsor and she would say, just keep listening, just keep listening. Well, I got it by listening to these meetings. I did hear recovery in the rooms, and that's what kept me in the rooms. I did hear people recovering. But when I heard the word recovered, it just took me to another level, a deeper level. And then starting to study and read this book, as someone said earlier, as a textbook, studying it line by line. But man, if someone had explained that I was doomed and you know, to this disease, that it, you know, the malady of this disease. I want to share a story with you about somebody, because it talks about doctors are rightly loath to tell alcoholic patients the whole story unless it will serve some good purpose. One of the members in our room took a post-it note. We have these post-it notes that say OA.org on them, and do you have a problem with food or whatever it says on it. And she had a physical with her doctor. She's recently lost 100 pounds. And put the post-it note on the doctor's computer screen. And I thought, wow, that's the way to carry the message. And when the doctor came in, he said, what's this? Because they look at their computer screens first. And she explained it to him, and she asked him if he had heard of Overeaters Anonymous. No was the answer. I was floored that no, he didn't ever hear of Overeaters Anonymous. So she said, I suggest you look it up online and read about it and tell the other doctors. And I have since heard that doctors don't get a lot of education on nutrition and how different methods and what how people can be helped, especially through OA if they have our disease. So I think that I'm going to stop there because I started my timer a little bit later, but I am so grateful to be studying these lines with you. Oh, and the other thing I wanted to point out is all the italics, how Bill really wanted to get this point across. There's a lot of italics in this section. Tell him exactly what happened to you. Tell him exactly. Yes, I always ask my sponsees, are you desperate and are you willing? And that's what my sponsor asked me, and yes, I was. And with that, I will pass. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Mo H. Let's see, Kathleen. Oh, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service this morning, and thank you for everyone who shared on the line so far, and good morning to everyone on the line. So, you know, I came in desperate, broken and hopeless. Food was my master. My entire head was full of food thoughts. How was I going to get it? When? Where? How was I going to be able to eat in isolation? That was usually in a parking lot in my car. I was miserable mentally and I was miserable physically. I could not stop. And every blue moon when I did stop, I couldn't stay stopped. So when I heard the conditions of body and mind which accompany this disease, things started to make sense. And, you know, even though your protege may not have entirely admitted his condition, he has become very curious to know how you got well. And that curiosity is what brings us into these rooms. And if we stick around long enough, we're going to hear the message. And, you know, I needed to hear this from someone like me, because the only person who truly understands a compulsive overeater is another compulsive overeater. And the only person who can pull a real compulsive eater from this hopeless state of mind and body is another compulsive overeater. I needed to have someone walk me through this. And first I had to, like, get it. I mean, I finally got the fact that, you know, I had this mental obsession, and it didn't matter what kind of diet I went on. I was always going to have this mental obsession, and that's the thing that would make me crazy, because my whole head was full. I couldn't think of anything else. Herb Kate, you know, describes it as a movie screen, and there's nothing on the movie screen except, you know, you've got this mental obsession. It's the only thought. There is no other thought, and it's pure hell. So, you know, this one thing that I've learned is abstinence without the spiritual principles will not work. And the spiritual principles without abstinence will not work. We have to have entire abstinence. If we don't, and we still do these steps, we're still going to have that obsession of the mind. And if you're having the obsession of the mind, look at your entire abstinence. Or are you working the steps, and are we staying connected with this higher power? There's ingredients, and if we don't put them all in the pot, the recipe's not going to come out right. But when they're right, oh my gosh, it is amazing, because it's the opposite of how I came in. It's joy and freedom. My life is not perfect. Things don't always go perfectly, but it is just so amazing, and that's what we hear on these lines and the voices. And thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. And Robin P., you'll be our last share. Thank you, Robin.
Thanks so much. This is Robin. May I be heard?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm Robin. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And thank you so much for this wonderful meeting. Oh, gosh, I love this meeting. I just think everyone's amazing here. You know, I came in a devout atheist, and I saw, this is when I originally came into OA, and the first time, and I saw God on the walls, and I was so upset and hurt, and just like, I need this so badly, how can there be God on the walls? And I left, and 6 months later, I came back and just was so desperate, and somebody said, just believe in any power greater than your disease, whatever you can use for that, just any positive force that's greater than the negative pull of your disease. And so it evolved. And now, ironically, I'm a Christian, and I, you know, I've had this process that never would have happened except for the bridge of the 12 steps. And God used to be the least important relationship in my life and is the most important relationship in my life. And so it's a spiritual malady. You know, it says here, the main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself, and that he lived by spiritual principles. And it's a spiritual program. And I love that we call ourselves recovered, because I know the power of words. I'm an inventor, and my first invention was something to do with the power of words. And I know there's a lot of science behind this, and what you speak is very important. And I listened, and when I first heard people say they're recovered, I thought, oh, that's awesome, instead of affirming that's just the disease part, to affirm that someone's recovered. There's a lot of power in that, and then to keep taking the actions to stay that way by living in 10, 11, and 12. And that's the other thing that's so awesome, is that it's a spiritual malady combined with a physical, it's a mental obsession combined with a physical disease. And so the allergy, I get to work both parts every day. I don't pick up those foods that I'm allergic to, and I get to keep growing up spiritually. And I always say, if I either get to grow up or I grow out, and I'd much rather grow up. So thanks so much for letting me share. God bless everybody in your recovery. I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin P. We have time for like a 1.5 minute share. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Okay, I'll take a minute then. This is Kathy K., recovered. Oh, is that someone who would like to share?
You go ahead, Kathy. This is Kathy Jo P. Don't worry about it.
Okay, Kathy Jo, thanks. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Boston. And, you know, this reading today and hearing everybody's shares reminds me that every time I have a conversation with a newcomer or someone who's returning or even with a current sponsee, I need to really be mindful of what I'm doing and really center myself in God or higher power before I start the conversation. This paragraph shows me that what I say and what I share and how I direct the other person really makes a difference in their ability to begin the work that will set them free. It really is both science and art, because we do know there's neuroscience now that shows what we say and how we say it and what we think and how we think can be modified and have a tremendous impact on our experience. And that's what these 12 steps of recovery give us. And with that, I'll pass. Okay, thank you everyone who came this morning and who shared this morning. And a special thank you to Nancy T., Susan S.I., Liat T.D., Penny L.C., and Stephanie L. for helping me to lead this meeting. I will now ask Penny L.C. to read the closing on page 164, and then we'll say the Serenity Prayer together. Penny?
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for your service. This is Penny, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.